Martin.
Hi, Jackie.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. How are you, Jackie?
I'm doing really well. You know, I don't know.
You've been traveling a little bit.
Yeah, I have been traveling a little bit.
How's packing?
I'm gonna
because you've been
travel
going
again.
Yeah, you're about to travel again. So how is how's packing and doing that? Because that's like a whole thing of like,
yeah.
What do you bring? Like, it's like the short term. Why did I keep this? It's like, why did I bring this? Like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Are you the type of person who packs like 1,000 pairs of underwear? Because that's me.
No, I pack underwear. Like, I pack like, depending, like exponentially, like 2 to 5 more than the days that I'm going.
Yeah. Okay. Me too.
Like,
yeah.
If I'm going for like a month, I'll bring like 5 extra pairs. Like, what if I shower in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
You know, you want a clean pair of knickers.
You do.
But if the greatest thing that I've accomplished, I think, in my packing as of late is I have converted my husband into a packing cube man. He used to just put stuff in a suitcase. Like, he would see the suitcase, he'd put his shirts in the suitcase, he'd put his shoes in the suitcase, and he'd zip it up.
I didn't know there were other options. What is this?
This is a chaotic way of packing. You must use cubes.
What are cubes?
Packing cubes are like these.
Are they like the big tic-tac-toe things that you put into like a suitcase and it's a bunch of separators?
Yeah, well, it's not a tic-tac-toe thing. No, they're like zipped up squares that you zip up. So you put like all your t-shirts in one, all your pants in another, all your underwear in another, and all your dresses in another. Or, you know, you do clothes.
Outfits. Like, this is day one outfit, day two outfit.
Yeah, you could definitely do it in that way. And then when you get to the place, you like have all your socks in a separate area. You just literally pick them up, put them on the shelf, and that's where your socks are.
You know, Jackie, I was ready to tease you and say, this is weird and unnecessary, but it actually sounds like a really simple and
absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Something I've realized is just how much clutter affects me and how frustrated I can get and how, like, you know, just like if you need something and you can't find it and you get this panic, like, wow, I've also really been loving using like small containers for storage. It's kind of that Marie Kondo method of like, okay, if you're going to have something, put it in a basket. Don't just like have it on like the linen shelf. So, you know, why don't I do that also for traveling? It doesn't have to just be for my linen closet.
Actually, I was a real naysayer. And let me tell you, he has saved so much space in his packing now that he uses cubes. He's like a new person.
All right, you got to send me a link to these cubes. I'm curious.
You can get them anywhere.
I guess I could just Google it.
They can be very expensive, but it's great. It's great if you get it from Muji because they're quite inexpensive.
Okay.
Anyways, we can discuss it later, but that's what I've been up to.
Well, it's very funny that you mentioned like cubes and storage because we talk a lot about storage in this upcoming episode.
Basically all about it.
It's all
the
about
only thing
storage.
We talk about.
Yeah, it is. It's oh man. Have you ever had a storage unit?
No.
Yeah, neither have I.
I think it's a dangerous slippery slope.
It is.
You get to keep too much. Mm-hmm. You get to keep way too much.
I've definitely had moments in my life. No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What were you saying? You said
no, I interrupted you. I want you to say what you were going to say.
Thank you.
You go first.
I was going to say there have been moments in my life, like I think especially when I was like living with my parents, my mom was like, I need to get the storage thing. And just being like, no, you don't need more storage. You need less stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know, I waver between those two people, being the person who's like, I need more storage because I love all my stuff, and being like, no, you do not need less storage. You need less stuff, or more storage. You need less stuff. So I don't know.
Well, I think what's really fun about this episode is that our very good friend Molly Freilich comes on to tell us all about her family storage unit. And, you know, they actually sound like they have an amazing time going through the stuff every time they decide to downsize.
It sounded really fun and wholesome. And we say this in the episode,
so
but it sounds like a treasure chest. It could really like,
yeah,
I love digging through stuff, and man, I want to get my hands in there.
I know. It sounds really fun. And she kept some great things. So everybody get ready for a fantastic episode with Molly Freilich.
Thank you.
and welcome to Why Did I Keep This? A podcast about the things that have been living in the back of our closets and why it's so hard for us to let them go. Please join us as we examine our relationship with stuff and potentially convince each other to say goodbye to excess baggage. Or maybe we'll encourage each other just to keep everything forever. Let's find out. We are your hosts. I am Courtney Venese, a Los Angeles-based actor and video game streamer with a passion for thrifting and a distaste for waste.
And I'm Jackie Glick, a producer living in LA, who's an avid window shopper and a sentimental saver. Today, we are joined by the wonderful Molly Frelick, an animation executive, author, and former 12-year-old eBay enthusiast. Thanks for coming today.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you here. Molly, I'm so excited to hear what you have brought for us, because the eBay thing in your intro maybe sounds like you have a bit of a problem. Or maybe not a problem at all.
I don't know. eBay can be a solution. To me, when I hear eBay, I'm sort of like, okay.
But I feel like I would get, like, addicted to the bidding, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's an okay addiction to have as an adult, as a 12-year-old who really quickly realized that I was bidding against adults. Things got wild in a way that I didn't expect.
Okay. All right. I want to dig into this. Tell us more.
So the thing I have kept, the many things, my family for as long as I've known has had a storage unit, and we were given as children carte blanche to put whatever we felt we needed to keep into this storage unit.
Oh, your mom and dad are like deeply enabling this hobby.
It was a bold move.
I love it.
Over the last few years, because of the cost of storage units, we've had to downgrade. And by over the last few years, I mean over the last 25 years. So it's been a process of downsizing.
But tell me this. Was your parents' house, like, pristine and anything extra got to get put into the storage unit? Or was there stuff in the house, too, and then other things went to the storage unit?
Oh, absolutely not. Like, the house looks still very lived in. And,
oh, that's
you
good.
Know,
I would have felt bad if all of your stuff had to go into the storage unit.
Yeah. No, it was.
Oh, you need a towel?
Go to the storage unit.
It was walkable at one point. Now it isn't,
All right.
But yeah, no, we had plenty of stuff in the house. This was like, it was, I think, meant to be, you know, my parents are both baby boomers. They grew up with situations where, like, they didn't necessarily get a choice to keep things. So they were able to give me and my brother the choice to keep things. Mm-hmm. And having not had a different option previously, we went, oh, and when I tell you there are, currently I'm, you know, in my late 30s, there are over 12 boxes just of children's toys from the 80s and 90s. Some of those boxes I was allowed to pack when I was a child, so I have found literal trash.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is so funny. So you still have those things in the storage unit?
Currently, the goal, this is the last downsize, is to remove, to end the storage unit's existence.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Now I have several, I haven't finished counting containers because I've been going through it. In both my parents' house and my apartment in our very narrow hallway. My mother and I have been packing up our cars as full as they can get and trying to take everything back to my parents' house, going through what those final boxes are, and then repacking it or sorting it for, like, sale or not. Her stuff's way cooler. She has, like, 70s band t-shirts.
That's cool. And that's why you don't get rid of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've also been sitting in a storage unit for over 30 years.
Yeah, so what
just
kind
need
of
a quick rinse.
I was going to say, what kind of condition are they in? Like, can moths get in there? Is it just dusty? Have they, like, are they just, like, deteriorating?
Some of the clothing, I mean, they've been in, you know, those temperature controlled spaces. So I think that was helpful. I think a lot of the stuff is in better condition than you would expect for that amount of time in that kind of space.
Yeah, I.
So are you going to wear them?
I couldn't fit into her stuff from the 70s. Okay. But I have found some of... I found it recently in a box just marked Molly Nick Clothes, my brother and I. I found a t-shirt my brother must have purchased on a trip to Paris in like 1991 or 92 that is Snoopy with Garfield vibes. That fits
okay.
me.
Oh. It's
Snoopy in an office, and it says I hate Mondays on it in French.
Amazing. That is so that is, confused.
That is very confusing, and also, like, that sounds extremely, like, on point right now. Like, I feel like that is, like, high fashion right now.
Oh, yeah. I got compliments from people in their 20s at my office when I wore it, and I felt very cool.
Oh, man.
Honestly,
compliments
I would definitely, I would definitely buy that shirt. That's very funny.
Oh, yeah. So there are gems. That's the I think that's always been the problem with that storage unit in general, is like for every broken pen that a 6-year-old shoved into a box, truly just found at least one of those. There's like my dad is a television producer who traveled a lot during my childhood, and I found a note he had faxed to me when he was shooting a movie in Spain.
Oh my gosh.
It was, like, in the most random place one could possibly imagine. Like, it was, like, in a Shira castle, like, shoved in the chimney. But I found it there. And, like, those are, like, those sentimental moments that I'm like, oh, I guess this heap of stuff is worth it.
Oh, no, yeah. I love that. I love that so much. I love so going sweet. Through, a pile of stuff. I love treasure hunting. It is... it's such a treat, unless there's like a time crunch, like if you are moving, say, then it is, you know, maybe a little less fun. But that sounds like a fun project. I mean, overwhelming and like frustrating too, but like also like it is worth it when you find those, in my opinion, it is worth it when you find those like nuggets and you find like that history. Like my parents retired a couple of years ago and I helped them clean out their entire house. And my mom does not like getting rid of stuff. You know, she has kind of a mentality of like, what if I need this later? I don't want to have to rebuy it. Or yeah, like a lot of things. So I helped them clean a lot of things out, and I learned a lot about my family that I didn't know. I found a whole box of pictures of my mom's ex-boyfriends. That was a treat. That's
a whole box?
Oh my gosh, like a box, like bigger than a shoebox, but not like quite a moving box, but like photos of like her at parties and like hugging boys and love letters from people that are not my dad. And I was like, okay, all right, that's right. I guess you led a whole life before I showed up. So it's fun to find things like that. No cool. My mom wasn't like a person to go to cool like rock concerts or anything like that. But you know, she had her moments of like interesting pieces of history that it was fun to go through.
So Molly, tell us, what is it exactly that you want to talk about on this show? Like, what have you kept and why did you keep it?
I'm like, it's such a smorgasbord, I guess, of toys and whatnot. I think the eBay lead was possibly more related to the first wave of nostalgia I had as a child. So I have a very large collection of 80s toys that I wouldn't have necessarily been alive for, but my brother was into.
Okay.
That I purchased for myself as a child when eBay was new. So we're talking Strawberry Shortcake, we're talking Rainbow Bright, we're talking like my mother will one day, I think, burn these. There are upwards of 20 plastic lunch boxes, and this was all at the time. There was that time in the 90s when like Hot Topic was relatively new and 80s nostalgia became a thing, and like that was cool, and you had like 80s shirts, and like it was that time period.
So walk me through this. There are 20 lunchboxes that you purchased on eBay that you never used for lunch that are sitting in a storage unit that your parents own and are trying to get rid of, and yet you have not gotten rid of said lunchboxes?
Those are sitting in my parents' garage because I am a monster. And I put things...
You've come to the right place. So wait, we're here to help.
Like, yeah, so the lunchboxes, they're like the plastic ones. Say, I had one when I went to school. I remember in kindergarten, I had like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. Is that like the kind of vein of them where it's like the plastic and on one side it has like an image of like some pop culture IP?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes with the thermos, sometimes without the like thermos brand. I've got... there's the one that I think of first is the first time I realized that I was bidding against adults on eBay. There was this show that I have no recollection of ever watching called Moon Dreamers. But I had
never heard of it. Nope.
My favorite paper dolls were from this show, and I had the bad guy and one of the other characters, and it looks almost like the knockoff version of Rainbow Bright that was made maybe for I don't want to say anything disparaging about any animation, but it looks like trash animation from the 80s to sell toys. I have no idea what it's about, but there are these kids. They have different colors. They seem to be represented by different planets and or stars. So I would just look up 80s lunchbox. That's what I would do, because the search function was different, because this is I would have to, this is so long ago and I was so young that there wasn't the ability to pay with credit cards per se. I think PayPal was relatively new. So I would have to go down to the bank, get a money order from the bank to send to the buyer after I won the bid, and would procure these things. So I would usually get these lunch boxes for $3, $4, $5. And that felt like a right price. I got into a bidding war with, I think I identified a grown man for this Moon Dreamers lunchbox. And at some point at that time, you were allowed to message other people who were bidding.
I do remember this. Yeah, I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Over here, 11, 12, 13 in that range. And I was just hey man, I'm a kid and I really like this. Just let it go. And he's like, if you're a kid, you shouldn't be on here. And kept bidding me up. It was $30 for this lunchbox.
Did you win it?
I did.
Oh my god.
But for what?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. At a certain point, did it just turn to pride? Was it competition at a certain for me?
Absolutely.
That's, yeah, okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you still have this child. Moon one.
You still have Moon Dreamers?
Moon Dreamers.
And do you take lunch to work, Molly?
I sure do.
And you don't, what do you take it in?
A company branded lunchback that was given to me at some point, because it's also a cooler.
I was going to say the cooler aspect is pretty nice.
That's a good point, though. I should pick out which, so at some point I washed these and took really nice photos of them with the intent to sell, on the internet legally, not intent to sell otherwise. And I was just okay, this is going to be it. I'm going to do it. And then the idea of having to figure out the shipping weight and whether I was going to use Etsy or eBay and how to price these got so overwhelming that they went back in the box clean. But I should just pick out the one that I like the most. It should be that damn Moon Dreamers one.
Well, you spent $30 on it.
Yeah, you you fought for that.
Yeah.
What was $30 in 98? So what with inflation is probably $7,000.
Yeah.
Do you have a Ninja Turtles one?
I don't.
Do you have, what do you have? I'll buy one.
I'm off the top of my head, I've got Rainbow Bright. I have Care Bears. I have at least one Care Bears.
Care Bears would be cool.
Yeah. I'm blanking.
I'm wondering Care if there's like Sailor Moon. Was Sailor Moon?
Oh, Sailor Moon.
Oh, I wish. I do have a Sailor Moon alarm clock in one of those storage boxes.
Great. Amazing. Amazing. People would pay so much. I feel like it sounds like these, the things you're talking about.
Sounds like
about,
you have $1 million in the storage.
I feel like those things are things that like right now would absolutely sell. Like would, yeah. I think people want
sounds
that.
Like retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just for sure.
Like, you could probably stop working in animation and just sell all your old stuff.
No, I mean, like, it's hard, though, because the at some point with... So with this stuff particularly, the 80s nostalgia stuff I bought on eBay, at the time, it was, like, to be cool and decorate my room and, like, have all these things that were cool. And, like, I took all the stuff that was my brother's out of storage. It had been on, like, a storage downsize. I'm like, great. The Thundercats are mine now. The Silverhawks are mine. Great. Got this all. Fantastic. But I didn't necessarily have connections to those shows or those things because I bought them later, but now I'm so far removed that we have the nostalgia of them actually being childhood toys.
Right.
Which is odd.
It's layered. It's layered. Yeah. Okay, so you have so much stuff. Like, do you have any room in your apartment or your house for these things?
I sure don't.
Okay. How does your boyfriend feel about 80s nostalgia?
It is I don't think it's in his interest.
He's not nostalgic for it.
No, I don't think it's his shtick.
It's not stuff he wants to see every day or be the decor of his home.
I think if there was a way to make it like fun and artsy, then maybe, you know, sure. How you get those like shadow boxes where things look a little cooler but then that turns into a thing I never actually finish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Project. I'm
I'm familiar. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Have you dabbled?
So how many in total do you think you have of these lunch boxes? 20, you said?
About 20 to 20. Yeah, I feel like 20 is a fair estimate.
And you were 12 years old. What did your parents think when you bought
20
lunch boxes that you didn't use for lunch?
Honestly, I think they had bigger questions about buying the entirety of ALF on VHS that someone had ripped off of their own TV. When I tell you that I was on eBay all the time, like, I don't know where the money came from. I could not tell you. I think...
Were you, like, babysitting to fund your habit?
Probably at the time. I think I was probably babysitting my piano teacher's kids. I had done, like, extra work once or twice and put the money directly in the bank. So, honestly, I think what should have been a college fund turned into... I feel like I didn't spend that much, though. Like, I think everything was always reasonable because the lunchbox being $30 felt huge.
All right. So you weren't spending thousands of dollars on these lunchboxes.
Yeah. Most of the time, they were, like, $3 to $5.
Yeah. It was reasonable until you look at it in totality.
Across bananas. 20 lunchboxes, that adds up. That definitely adds up.
And so your parents now are downsizing their storage unit, and now these are in their garage, which they, in my mind, cannot park in at this current time. Is that fair to say?
No, they have. They're fine. They're
they
good.
Can park in the garage.
They can park in the garage.
Okay, so they're not taking up the entire garage, but are they trying to get you to get rid of these boxes?
It is, you know the Spider-Man meme where all the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's my family with getting rid of stuff. Because
that's really funny.
We all have too much stuff, and it's at my folks' house. And it's that, like, I think there is a really admirable respect for people's belongings where they're not going to throw away things without someone making that decision about their own stuff. But it's probably getting to a breaking point where if we don't, we should be unsurprised by the free yard sale that is just everything dumped on the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you think that's happening? Because I'd like to come see all your lunchboxes.
Yeah.
Well, we have been talking to my mom about doing like a what clothing do you want to get rid of? Let's have people just come to the house and buy it off a rack.
Oh, so, that's a great idea.
That sounds so much fun. Courtney and I will be there.
Yeah.
I will give you a call. Absolutely. I have been giving away. What's nice now going through this stuff, like there are some things that I think are both of value and I haven't made a decision about whether or not I will have children. And I think a lot of holding on to the toys particularly was related to that, where it's like, oh, then you can give them free gifts all the time because they come out of the storage boxes. And that's like the Playmobil toys or like the American Girl dolls, like those go in there. But what I have been able to do, and it's been easier to part with a lot of these things, is I think about my friends' kids and like I have a full set of Aladdin toys purchased at Puzzle Zoo on the 3rd Street Promenade, I'm sure, in the early 90s. And a friend of mine has a 3-year-old who's super into Aladdin now. And I'm like, great, I don't need those. Those can go. Those can get shipped to Oregon.
Right. That's great. You can part with them if you know they're going to a good home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the lunch boxes get weird.
But I also think a lot of those boxes would be resellable on eBay the same way that you bought them.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I love the cycle of, like, get them on eBay, sell them on eBay, like, you know, 24 years later.
And you could sell them for more than $3.
Maybe even $6.
I think at least you could absolutely
double your money, double the investment. It'll be the best thing you've ever done.
$6 to $10, get out of here.
It's fantastic. I could get maybe half a meal in like Silver Lake.
You could get almost a coffee. Oh, we could get a coffee, but you couldn't get a latte.
That's fair. That's okay. I don't need the milk.
Lattes for our listeners, maybe in other places, are about $7 now.
They're getting something.
A cold brew coffee is psychotic. Like $4, which is why I make my own.
Yeah, it's bean water, people. This is crazy.
Make your own bean water.
Make your own bean water.
I want to know about, okay, so you've been saying that you're downsizing the unit. How big was the biggest storage unit?
I think bigger than my first apartment.
Amazing. Because they were sharing it. It was the whole family, right?
It's been the whole family, but like it also is like, you know, Christmas decorations, and we would just...
Yeah.
We have a history of putting busted things back in the box to deal with it later. Mm-hmm. And like, so at some point we looked at the Christmas decorations and went, why do we have 9 boxes? We put up a tree and like, some garland. What is happening here?
Right.
And then you plug in the lights and half the lights don't work?
Yeah. We've discovered a bunch of broken lights. We discovered some like pop, like it was like fake plastic popcorn to put around the tree, but it wasn't enough to put on a tree. And it was like degrading because it was that older plastic. All sorts of like, you know, broken ornaments, etc.
And so... have you since gotten rid of said broken ornaments? And okay, so yes,
yeah,
that stuff has been tossed.
Well, so what were some the sentimentality first things to go? Leaves. Like,
yeah,
the trash was, I'm guessing, the first thing to kind of go.
the trash is always hopefully the first thing to go.
My favorite job, like as an assistant on a movie, when you're the one, I was always in charge of like the trailers. Like, at the end of the movie, making sure everything went in the trailers, and I would work so hard to get everybody to do it in an organized fashion, but it's the end of the movie, everybody's putting all their stuff that they have to keep into the trailer, and it inevitably is insane. And my favorite, like, you know, hate, love, hate thing to do, like, when the movie comes out, you get rid of the trailer, essentially, when you're sure that the movie is finished, you don't need that t-shirt or you don't need that costume or, you know, there's all the stuff you don't need anymore, so somebody has to empty the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my absolute favorite love-hate job to spend, like, 3 days at the end. Or actually, I think I used to do it in a 12-hour day. I used to go in, get rid of all of the garbage. At, like, 4 or 5 p.m., I'd have, like, a junk truck come. And then the rest of it I would move into boxes and put into, like, a proper storage. Like, things that you really actually need, like the hero, like, lead's costume in that main scene that they might wear in the sequel kind of stuff. And then you, like, get to put it into boxes and then put it into, like, proper office storage. But, like, you can only have, like, a few boxes, whereas you used to have a full trailer. And the whittling down of somebody else's garbage was... And I, like, wish that I could do that again and again. Like, that was so satisfying. I would love to come to your mom's and dad's storage unit, is what I'm trying to say. May I, please?
Right, right.
It would be my pleasure.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. That should be on your mantle, 100%. Put it up.
You can even just come to see the 3 boxes that are currently in my apartment hallway.
He would,
like, that's
he would probably be as proud of you as we are. He'd be into it.
What did I find earlier?
Which is so proud. Yeah.
I won.
So proud.
The highest score on the video game at Blockbuster in 1995, and I have a framed certificate, and I got it.
That's
thank you.
So cool, and that absolutely has to stay. That should be on the wall. That should be
You got
displayed.
A free year of rentals?
I think my partner's out of town right now. I feel like if he came back, I wonder how long it would take for him to notice that it was up. I feel like that's the game to play.
Which is so proud, yeah.
I feel like, you know, there have probably been times where I've had one
Molly,
drink
you
too
did
many
the
and
work.
Said, you don't know, I'm the 1995
Smarter,
Blockbuster video game champion for my age group, and I got a free year of rentals. It's,
such
you know.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And I did it. By watching
game
the
ship?
18-year-old go before me, because I was
game
like
playing?
10 at the time,
know.
And... He found
what was the game?
On Judge Dredd the bonus
the
1 million point, and I had never played the game before, so I just watched him and followed his path, and that's how I got the highest score for my
First
age
of all,
level.
I love that you remember this.
That's
what
so,
a formative experience.
You worked smarter. That is you working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
I admire that so much.
Thank
just
you.
So much. You, yeah, I want to go through sportsmanship.
An e-sport. that was Judge
Hired.
Dredd. It was, I had to do both
Hired.
Judge Dredd
is
and
that is that
NBA
how you got your
Jam
current
Turbo
job
Edition.
By talking about that.
Amazing. That's so cool. Oh, yeah. That should be on your resume. Like, I'm not saying that as a joke. Like, on my resume, I always try and have, like, a little interesting thing about me section. And that's, like, way cooler than anything I could ever put about myself. Like, that's, like, such a great conversation point. Like, if I saw that on someone's resume, I'd be like, I'm going to need you for, like, an extra 20 minutes. Like, we got to talk about this. And also, you're hired.
No. No, I think
so.
Well, I tried to
I have a lot
that
of
fact
questions
for like that two truths and a lie game that you have to play to like meet and greet people because like
First
as
of all,
an executive, yeah. It makes me more approachable.
What is?
But it was the nothing bun.
What
cakes
is nothing
job
bun cakes? And do they still
my
exist?
My boss continues to talk about. I worked at a nothing bun cakes location
still?
As a
oh my god
quote marketing manager where I was literally just going door to door to businesses being like, hey, we opened a new
I'm familiar
bundt cakes
and
here's a coupon
and do they just make
please
bundt
have
cakes?
Your next birthday cake here.
I love that that has the
right.
title that is the title
right.
marketing manager
sorry,
I love it very much
so
that's,
you were trying to convince people $12
an hour
that's
instead
so
of,
cool.
instead
what
of getting a birthday cake for their birthdays.
You Jackie, you've never heard of nothing but cakes?
There's one in Glendale. Oh, man.
Yeah,
there's one in that strip mall that has like sure. the Cosplus World Market.
What was the decoration Michaels. Of said yeah. bundt cakes? Mm-hmm. Just
yeah. It's on naked? Yeah, on Glendale. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's nothing bundt cakes, yes. Jackie.
It is. Well, or buntinis, which are like mini bundt cakes.
Uh-huh.
So you can order different decorations.
Inedible.
That are
ribbon
cut
topper.
Up ribbons that are decorated.
Okay, go on.
I have a former coworker who's been my friend since we work together, and we will still send each other targeted ads for nothing bundt cakes that we get, and threaten to send the other one a decorated cake. There's one that's like a from the whole office, and all these things have puns on them, so they have these little printed tags and then this like cut up ribbon topper that goes on the whole, and then inedible ribbon topper. That one that says from the whole office, they all have, it's all like whole or bunt related puns. Mm-hmm. That we'd have to stick those three punch, when you do the three hole punch and a hole tears, the little like repairer stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Those were what we decorated the ribbon with.
Mm.
So it was, you know, that was cool.
Now, I love a bundt cake. I think, you know, more than the average man, I would say. In fact, for, I don't remember what it was for, but Courtney, I had registered for a bundt cake thing when we got married and you bought it for me and I use it all the time. Love a bundt cake.
Great.
Nothing wrong with the bundt cake. I have never in my life bought a bundt cake. And now I feel like I have to go to this place.
I think you might have to.
Do you like the bundt cakes there? Like, was it interesting and delicious or just funny and punny?
They were tasty. There were some flavors that were definitely stronger than others. And
any recommendations for our listeners?
I know. I was like, what's a good one?
Oh, yeah.
Which one should I get?
I'm like, can I remember? The marble was my favorite. I liked the red velvet because it had chocolate chips in it. Which is different for red velvet cakes. I learned a lot about the history of red velvet, which was exciting. Mm-hmm. But those are the two that were my favorite. The lemon was really good. I'm going to start listing all of their flavors.
I like a lemon bundt cake. Courtney, if we get to episode 100, can we get ourselves a bundt cake from Nothing Bundt Cakes?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that will be our celebration, a nothing bundt cake.
You could get small ones too. They have like little.
We can get teeny tiny, try different flavors.
Ones, and you can try different. Yeah, you could get a set of the buntinis and get like one of each flavor.
When was the last time
you said.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Courtney.
I was going to say, I thought when you said buntini, it was going to be like a bundt cake martini.
I would probably die, but I would still drink it.
How were they? And I was like, oh, teeny. Yeah, no, it's small. Teeny as in small. Not
teeny as in small, I was imagining not as it in large.
Yeah.
Okay, so when was the last time you were at Nothing Bundt Cakes? And have you kept anything from there?
I have the apron.
Yes, Holly. Yes,
of course I did, Jackie. We, you know, now we've met, we've gotten comfortable. You could ask, have you kept from any job, and the answer will be yes. If you want a coffee bean and tea leaf apron and visor, I have them.
Oh my god, I'm gonna come to you for my next Halloween costume.
I have all of my old Halloween costumes, too. It's just going to go awry. Like, the things that I keep are absurd.
Okay.
So let's talk about why. Like, why do you think you keep these things? Like, why do you think you keep the apron? And why do you think you keep the lunch boxes? And, like, what is it that you're like, nope, this is the thing I got to hold on to?
I feel like it's different reasons for different things. Because I think there's the one aspect that is the psychotic angle of environmentalism where I'm like, Hard relate. With the aprons, it's like, well, these are useful aprons, and if I don't have them in this space that they're filling, then they're going to fill a landfill if I can't get them to someone who's going to use them as aprons. Mm-hmm. So it's the the I don't want to create waste, so I'm just going to keep things as if that doesn't still become waste, which is just completely out of it.
I have the same – I very much have the same thought process, and I – yeah, I like if somebody wants something or someone's like, I need an apron, then I'm like, oh my God, I have an apron. You have to take it. You're going to love it. But it's like, this is a perfectly good apron. I'm like, I don't, and it keeps me from buying another apron sometimes. Right. Unless I find an apron that I like really like, then I'll make an exception. And then all of a sudden, I have seven aprons, but only one body. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I have five aprons. So yeah, I hear you.
And are they all from jobs?
Technically, four are.
Do you ever use them in the kitchen?
Yes.
Do they feel excited or happy when you go to this storage unit? Are you like, thank goodness I kept this. I love it so much, I'll never get rid of it. Or are you like, I just don't know how to get rid of it or what to do with it because it's not actual garbage and it's not like something that Goodwill wants. And you're like, well, I should sell it or I should give it away. Or like, is it more like that or is it... Like, do you feel any genuine connection to the nostalgia or to the, like, joy of finding it?
Yeah, actually. It's a funny thing I was thinking about this recently is that, like, I played a lot with these things, like, through probably past, like, the age that it would be typical to be playing with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's tough. You actually touched on something earlier that I sort of love and I think is a really fascinating, like, time in people's lives where it's, like, that you're not a kid anymore, but you're not really an adult, and it is still fun to play with toys, but then there's this, like, weird amount of, like, guilt where there are these things that you like doing when you were, like, a kid and you don't dislike them or you're not disinterested in doing them, but also it's, like, you should be watching MTV and you should be going to, like, punk concerts and you should be, and it's, like, I feel like Pen 15, that show, yes, sort of, like, touches on it a little bit. But it's this idea of sort of, like, because you don't automatically outgrow something. It's not like one day you wake up and you're like, toys aren't fun. That's such, like, a unique and interesting and, like, really beautiful kind of funny time of everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people's lives.
Totally. It
and I can see why you'd be, like, nostalgic about it.
Yeah. Ugh. Truly.
Oh, my God. This has been so wild. What a trip down memory lane. This has brought up a lot for me. I think we came up around, like, the same age, obviously, like, the same, like, area. Oh, man.
I love the things that you've kept, and I love this storage unit. I really want to go to it. It sounds like it's a treasure chest.
It really does.
Well, as we're going through, I'm starting, like, the thing that I'm doing now that I wish I had done one of the last passes of this is not only am I putting things into, like, sealable bins, so, like, it's less likely that they'd be destroyed by something. Mm-hmm. I also have a list of what I'm putting in each box.
Whoa, that's brilliant.
And I'm labeling them.
That is such organized chaos. Yeah.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I love that for you. So, that's delicious.
It's those giveaway boxes that are kind of like, if you want a straw hat with flowers, a briefcase, not my brother's briefcase, don't know where this briefcase came from, and a Nordic, like, cruise ship model, you know where to go.
Good. Okay, well, you heard it here, everyone. If anyone is looking for any of those things, please get in touch, and we will.
I feel like this is a prop house. Oh, Molly, thank you so much for chatting with us and taking us into your storage unit. I love this. This has been a journey for me. I really am curious about all the things that you have, and I think it's super cool that you've kept them, and I hope that they all find good homes and that you get rich off of them.
Yeah.
Or that they just bring you joy. That, too.
Sometimes giving them good homes gives me joy, so
there
thank you,
go.
You both, Jackie and Courtney.
You can have it all.
This is so, so fun. Thank you so much for coming and sharing all of that stuff with us. Also, thank you, Genevieve Vincent, our amazing composer, and Action, our wonderful producer, and our listeners. Please like and subscribe and follow along on Instagram, because you will see, maybe we can even get a picture of Molly's award from Blockbuster for our Instagram. That would be the dream.
We would be so lucky.
Yeah.
Totally. It'll happen.
Can't wait.
Oh, thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.